Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. So today I'm going to be dealing with what I've called dealing with offenses. Dealing with offenses. Ultimately, we know that the offense that stood against us because of our wrongdoing as a result of the fall of man has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Romans 4 verse 25. That's right. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification? Next Sunday, during the Easter service, we'll talk about how that Christ was raised. It's important to know that he didn't just rise, but he was raised. Two different things. So we'll talk about that next Sunday. But what I want to show you here from this text is he was delivered up because of our offenses, because of our stumbling. There's a rock, there's an offense that stands against us, which Jesus ultimately has dealt with on the cross of Calvary. So today, I'm going to talk about offenses because whether we like it or not, by virtue of our relationship with each other, we run into some kind of offense, you know. At some point in your life, you've been offended and you have offended someone. So no one is void of the experience of dealing with an offense. So back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 24 verse 3 says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying," thank you, Josh, "tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Next verse. "And Jesus answered and said to them, these are the signs of the end times. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." I mean, if you look into our world today, there is so much going on, and it's just a proof that truly the end is near. So let's flip to verse 10. It's the point of emphasis. "And then many will be offended." So offenses is a sign of the last days. Somewhere in the New Testament that says, "In the last days, the love of many will wax cold." But here it says that many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So these are things we must deal with consciously as people who are Christians and believers. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Another text, Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Says, "Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come." So no matter how peaceful you are, offenses will, in one way or the other, gravitate in your direction. No matter how careful you might be. You know, the Bible says, pursue peace with all men. But still, somehow, offenses may show up. "But woe to him through whom they do come." There's another translation that says, "Surely offenses must come." You know, the word offense in the Greek is the word skandalon. Skandalon. S-C-A-N-D-A-L-O-N. Skandalon. It's the word where scandal is gotten from. And the meaning of the word skandalon is the word trap. To trap something, that's the root meaning of offense. Something that makes someone stumble. It also means to cause someone to fall. So it's a trap. Whenever offenses show up, I want you to know that a bait was given to you. It's either you choose to take the bait or not. And I will show you the dangers of offense if we have the time to do that. Now, because your point of view in life will always be different from your brother, your sisters, your opinions, your perceptions, there is no way we would not scratch each other. We would offend each other at some way or some point. Now, the spirit of offense is the spirit of pride, because pride focuses on self. Anyone who you see, or if you are self-centered, there's nothing anybody would tell me. You are a proud person. So pride is a self-centeredness that focuses on self. How does self feel about everything? It never thinks about how other people feel. So the spirit of offense is the spirit of pride. There are many things, I call them manifestations, because your reality in Christ is not a manifestation. It's a given, all right? Well, let me put it this way. Your reality in Christ is an absolute. It's done. There's no in-between. There's no human factor to that. All you can attribute your reality in Christ is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But the manifestation of those realities are a different ballgame entirely, whereby you have to employ so much of wisdom and the ability to nurture God's word that you are able to manifest what you already have. So a believer is not necessarily trying to get God to do something afresh. It's been done in Christ. But what a believer is trying to do is trying to get it manifested in the physical. The best way I try to explain this is you have position and then you have experience. Your position is who you are in Christ. Your experience is what you show through which other people can see or witness. That's why it says, by their fruits you shall know them. So when you see someone who is not manifesting something, doesn't mean he doesn't have it in Christ. It's just that the person is void of manifestation. It could also be that the person is not learned in the things of Christ, doesn't know who he or she is in Christ. You see, there's a place where you have to develop your mind in Christ. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The word prove is that you may show what is acceptable, the perfect will of God. So the renewing of the mind has a lot to do with manifestation. But when you don't see manifestation many times, it is possible that there are some blockers in your soul, or things that can hamper you or hinder you from manifesting. Now, hear this very carefully, that anybody who is having a manifestation problem is not dealing with a God problem. It's a human error. Because firstly, the word cannot be wrong. The scriptures have been tried 7 times in the fire and it's been said to be true. God is true, the word is true, so it has to be us. And mostly it is because we are not processing the true word of God accurately through our minds and spirits to translating what we already have in Christ into the manifest. So that's the problem. But offenses, I have found out, you know, from experience, especially in the place of counseling, talking to people, being a pastor for over 20 years, I've seen that offenses block manifestations. Offenses block manifestations. There's a song Minister Dunsin sang someday, and it says, channels of my spirit open up. You know that song, right? Yeah, so channels of my spirit open up. The channels of your spirit are not in your spirit. The channels of your spirit are in your soul, because your soul is the valve through which what is in your spirit go through. That's your soul. Your soul comprises of your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your thinker, your feeler, your doer. That's your soul. So when the mind is not renewed, what is in the spirit can't come out. When the emotions are disturbed, what is in the spirit likely can't come out. I'm not saying it's an absolute, but sometimes it just won't come out. When your decision making is faulty, what is in the spirit may not come out. And you know that the passage through which things come out is also the passage through which things come in. So you cannot receive, neither can you give, when the channels of your spirit are blocked. And I have found out from experience that offenses is one of the major blockers that stops the expression of your spirit. Offenses. And it also means that an offended person cannot receive from God properly. So therefore, offense is a danger that every believer must watch out for. So please tell your neighbor for me, watch out against offenses. There was a man in the Bible called Absalom. He was really offended because his half-brother did something to him. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 13 all the way from verse 1 to 32, it's a long read. Absalom had a sister called Tamar, and his half-brother, so Tamar is his sister, same father, same mother. But Absalom had a brother, you know, Amnon, who is half. It's not the same mother, but same father. And his brother is lusting after his sister. So there's a whole story. It's a very vivid example of offense in the scripture. Let's see if we can do a quick read. We'll probably skip some places. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man. Jonadab is his cousin. And he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar." Such an incest. He loves his sister, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" Keep watching this Nollywood drama going on here. "Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, 'Please tell Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight.'" And I'm wondering, why can't Tamar make the cake in her room? Are we together? And bring it to him. But Amnon, of course, he has ulterior motives. He wants her to make it in his sight. One thing to another. Next verse. "And David sent home to Tamar saying, 'Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him.' So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house and he was lying down pretending. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him. But he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, 'Have everyone go out from me.' And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, 'Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand.' And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom." You know, it's sad to see that it's her brother she brought it to. You know, and sometimes we claim to be brothers and we do things that brothers don't do. That's really bad. And you know, when we're talking about cases like rape and abuse and all of that, it's something very sensitive. And honestly speaking, like I said in the first service, well, this should not be named amongst believers, but if it's named amongst people within my circle, I personally will call the police on you. After disciplining you from God's word, I would also have, because it's a crime, so hand you to the police to be dealt with. Praise God. So there are certain things that must never be named amongst us. Because if we say we are brothers, we must act brotherly. And amen. Let's let that pass. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing." Anyway, disclaimer, we don't have such in TSB. Amen. Amen. That's a good place to pause and have some good sense of relief. We don't have the gospel transforms our hearts. The brothers in TSP, allow me to speak both in faith and in reality. So I'm speaking from word of knowledge and word from knowledge. The brothers in TSP are pretty decent brothers. Amen. Disclaimer. And where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. I mean, it's so interesting how she's considerate about how he would look. She's not even just thinking about herself. She's thinking about him. "Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." That if this is really what you want, because you must understand that the systems back then is totally different from what we have here. So speak to the king. If it's what you want and the king permits it, so be it. But don't force me. Then verse 14. "However, he would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she is, he forced her, lay with her." Never use your power against the weak wrongfully. Never use your power. Never use your strength. And this goes both ways. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, never use your power forcefully against the weak, against those who cannot defend themselves. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. This is a proof that what Amnon had for Tamar was not love. It was infatuation. Because how can you be so passionately consumed for someone, and the moment the act is done, it translates immediately into hatred? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. "So that with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, 'Arise and be gone.'" It's just like saying, "Get out of my sight," after you've done what you want to do. And the next verse, "So she said to him, 'No, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me.' But he would not listen to her." Next verse. "Then he called his servants," hi, bad guy, "who attended him," are you seeing this drama? "And said, 'Here, put this woman," now from my sister to woman, "put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her." Next verse. "Now she had a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel, and his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the robe of many colors." Next verse. "And Absalom, her brother, said to her, 'Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister, he is your brother.'" "Do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now, I'm going to show you something in verse 22, but let's read verse 21. "But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry." Next verse. "And Absalom spoke," look at this. "Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister." Now, you see, this is the problem. Because whenever you're dealing with offenses, the best time to deal with it is as immediate can be. If you want to hold back for a few minutes, that's fine, because you probably may not know how to express. But if you need to deal it as quick as you can, deal with it. But the problem that Absalom had here was that he never even said anything good. You know, and this is what I call implosion. There are people who explode. In fact, sometimes it's better to explode. It's worse to implode, because imploding, it leads to self-destruct at the end of the day. So it's better to talk about things. Are you with me? It's better to deal with things and not shove them under the carpet. In fact, for 2 years, Absalom did not do anything about it. That's how you can see the persistence, the resilience of offense. Offenses can be so powerful that they build over time. Never think that the weight of an offense will remain the same way it was many years ago. It increases. It's the gift of time. It's what time does to everyone. Time amplifies either the blessing or either the burden. That's why people's convictions grow over time, or the convictions die over time, because you must never leave a blind eye to things that will destroy you. So you address them before they get worse. He never said anything, and this is what I call, like I said in the first service, this is what I call apathy. Apathy is the worst form of hatred. Apathy means when something doesn't exist to you. Something is dead to you, and there are people who are there. In fact, you're not in the place of expression. You're not in the place of conversation. The person doesn't exist. The person is dead completely. That's apathy. So Absalom had apathy for Amnon, his brother. I sense in my spirit that God is going to deliver some people from deep-rooted offenses in this house today. If you're not the one I'm talking about, at least say amen for someone else. Next verse, verse 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. And when Absalom came to the king and said, "Kindly note your servant has sheep shears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." Next verse. But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go now, lest we be a burden to you." Then he urged him, but he would not go, and he blessed him. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." He had ulterior motives. And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" Next verse. But Absalom urged him, so he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Watch out now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." What a wrong way to use a positive motivation. What a wrong way. You know, people many times draw inspiration to feed negative ambitions. It's a problem. It says, "Have I not commanded you?" So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got on his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were on the way, that news came to David, watch this, saying, "Absalom has killed all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Let me tell you something. Offended people will never hear things the way they really are. There was a man called Bill Johnson, and he said, "The spirit of offense will make you hear things that did not happen." That's the spirit of offense. If you're offended, your ears naturally, by the offense, are itchy to hear things that feed your offense. So you must be careful with offenses. Please tell your neighbor again, pay attention against offenses. Next verse. Then Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for only Amnon is dead." Someone came to correct the narrative. Thank God for Jonadab, although Jonadab was the one who gave a bad advice. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister. So there was a trace to the root of the offense. Every offense mostly has a root. And I'm going to be dealing with some things this morning to the intent that God frees our heart and makes us more susceptible to forgiveness rather than offense. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because if you don't, how do I put this? If you don't deal with offense, you become limited in all that you can be. It rids you of so many things. In fact, there is something the Bible says in Acts 24, verse 16. Let me show you that. Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. Let me tell you something. The ability to forgive is not a gift of the Spirit. It's a responsibility. It says, so being I myself, always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Use the proper King James Version. There's a word I want to extrapolate from there. The proper King James Version. It says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense. Whenever you see the word exercise in the Bible, it's not a gift of the Spirit. So don't think some people are better with dealing with offenses than you. When you say exercise myself, it's a responsibility, something you have to grow in. You have to work it until you become that person who is void of offense toward God and toward man. So that's what Paul says. A bitter person is like a drunk driver. Anyone who can let go is bitter. Anyone who can't afford to let things be is bitter. And a drunk driver can hit anything along the road. I believe in speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love is key. So you know, a lot of people say, I say things the way they are. I want you to say things the way they are. But make sure when you're saying things the way they are, say things to edify and to build. That even when you're correcting, you correct and you rebuke, but you do it to build, not to kill. Because words are powerful and they can be destructive. Somebody say amen. Amen. Is this sounding like a Koboko message already? Okay. Signs of offenses. I'm going to give you 7 signs to know someone is offended. Number 1, withdrawal from relationships and fellowships. Withdrawal. Now, you know, like I said to you, when someone is hurt, one of the first things you notice is probably an outburst or the outrage. But you see, for some mature people or put together people, you may never catch them in the rage. But they would usually fall for withdrawal. So when you see someone who withdraws from commitment, from fellowship, from relationships, that person is most likely offended. There's nothing you tell me. Most likely offended. And you know that relationships are designed by God to strengthen and to empower us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. So, you see, relationships are designed by God. Marital relationships, amongst friends, amongst siblings, even relationships in the office. Some of these relationships are blessings. But when you are in a relationship with people, expect offenses. It will surely come. So don't be taken aback when offenses come. But the Bible says, woe to him who brings the offense. People leave church today because they are offended. Now, how do you change? Do you change your family name because your siblings hurt you? You know, when people have issues in church, in my opinion, it is issues between family members. And you know something I have told myself, because this thing can go both ways. It can be offense from the pastor toward the people, or offense from the people to the pastor. I'm talking about in terms of church order and structure. And from the days where I began pastoring, I told myself I will never be offended at God's people, because I cannot be offended at the people I'm called to bless. And that doesn't mean I haven't seen cases where offenses have come to me or come at me. There are people who have offended me to my face. They mean wrongfully. There are sometimes I could be wrong. There are sometimes I was wrong. But there are other times where I just have to deal with someone else's weaknesses. It'll cost a lot. But offenses must come. It's a given. But I told myself, if I'm going to be a channel of blessing to people, I must never be offended at God's people, so that I can be effective at what I do. Now, what I just said is not a license to say, let's go and try Pastor Phil now. I'm just playing. No, I'm not playing. I'm not playing. Praise the Lord. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. So a lot of people leave church because of offense. People leave ministries because of offense. People walk away from families because of offense. People walk away from lasting relationships because of offense. You don't have one genuine friend in your life, because all the friendships that God gave you, you scattered all of them. Now, do you know that even when friendships are orchestrated by God, it's not a guarantee that they will last? I'm telling you, there's a case of where the Holy Ghost spoke in Acts chapter 13. It says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. This was God who spoke. Paul and Barnabas were in a relationship, beautiful ministerial relationship. And after a while, Paul and Barnabas had a falling out. And if you notice, you stopped hearing so much of Barnabas. In fact, the scripture will refer to both of them as Barnabas and Paul. Eventually, the order changed to Barnabas, from Barnabas to Paul, to Paul and Barnabas. And after a while, we stopped hearing much about Barnabas. Offenses. So you must watch against offenses. There must be something in you that knows how to resolve conflict. There must be something in you that knows how to wisely, let me say that again, that knows how to wisely resolve conflict. Because if you don't know how to do that, you will lose many profitable relationships and gifts that God has given you. In fact, as a matter of fact, you may struggle in marriage if you don't know how to resolve conflicts. You may struggle with your kids, with your children, with your business partners if you don't know how to resolve conflicts. So God has given you the spirit of love. So you know what, you have what it takes to resolve conflicts. Somebody say amen. When you have problems with people in church, let me stay with church for a bit. The people you have problems with are not the people that brought you to church. That person is not the only person in the church. So it baffles me when people say, I'm changing church because of offense. I am wired to do the opposite of what my offense is prompting my flesh to do, because I want to prove to myself and to God that I'm not responding to the flesh. I don't make decisions when I am angry. Because if I am speaking or dealing from the flesh, I will not make the best of decisions. It's possible to be angry and make the right decisions. I'm not saying it's impossible, especially when you know how to separate your feelings from what God is saying. But in the event that you are not able to deal with that, you are overwhelmed by the emotional side of the hurt, you must learn how to pray and ask God to heal you of the hurt, and then you make your decisions. So don't make drastic decisions, because I'm talking about this because there are a lot of people who are planted. To be planted in a ministry or in a church is God's design. And then your HOD takes you out. or a member in church who does not greet you properly? Somebody say amen. Tell your neighbor, the pastor is not talking about you, I believe. Number two, signs of offenses, resentment. Resentment. Now, there are people who are hearing what I'm saying and are more angry as I'm talking, and it's a sign that you have been offended before the message. So Pastor Phil is not your problem. Because as I'm talking, there are some other people who are happy. Say, Pastor, thank you for this word. You better respond so that your neighbor knows, either by pretense or by reality, your neighbor knows that you are in that category. Praise God. Resentment. What is resentment? Unresolved anger. That's resentment. Unresolved anger. Something happened many years ago, 2 days ago. You're choosing not to deal with it. Unresolved anger. James chapter 3, verse 16. You see, resentment will consume your joy, rob you of peace, leading to self-destruct. That's resentment. You cannot afford to be resentful. I beg you. Bishop T.D. Jakes said something, that resentment is drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. Look at James chapter 3, verse 16. See what it says. It says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. It says, whenever you find strife, there is all manner of evil work. So by extension, strife, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, offenses are inroads to letting the devil come in. You don't want to do that. Because you may think it's just about the offense, but Satan is targeting your head. See, there are people who have been offended and it led to sickness. The people who have been offended and it led to so many other things that they did not bargain for. There's all manner of evil work. So there is nobody offense is benefiting. In fact, offense is not for the benefit of the person who offended. Offense is for the benefit of you who may be offended. Because you don't want to be in that place where you harbor offense in your heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number three, distrust. You have distrust for leadership because you picked offense somewhere. You don't trust the church anymore. You don't trust your dad. You don't trust your mom. You don't trust your sibling. Whenever trust is absent, it could be that there is offense somewhere. You don't trust your husband again. You don't trust your wife. Losing trust in leadership or friends is a sign of offense. Number four, betrayal. When people betray you, it could be because they are offended. It could be because they are offended. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10 says, many will be offended and betray one another. There's a man called Ahithophel in the Bible. Who knows Ahithophel? Ahithophel was the counselor of the king. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, now let me choose 12,000 men and I will rise and pursue David tonight. This is somebody who was the PA to David. Like a PA. Like a trusted fellow. Two beautiful relationships, when betrayal comes in, is because there's probably offense somewhere. So there are times where I said, I know what this person can never do. And sometimes you may have had to change that confession because you were shocked and taken aback at what the person did. But it could be because there was an offense that was undealt with or not dealt with. So you don't want to be in the place where offenses lead you. Offenses will take you further than you want to go. Number five, bitter people connect with themselves. It's interesting. I can tell you for free that someone will walk into church right now and can sense who is as bitter as she is or as he is. Because it's not a gender thing. Anybody. The spirit of offense can rest on anybody. Bitter people, what? Connect with themselves. And they usually don't talk in the open. They talk in their homes or in selected places where they slander the pastor, slander the members, slander that brother, slander that sister. Bitter people connect with anybody who gathers to talk about me. Thunder from... I'm just playing, though. You know the next thing I'm about to say? I'm not playing. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. Because, you see, the Bible says surely they will gather. So, you see, when people gather against you, it's a sure thing. So don't be surprised when people gather against you. But watch out for offenses. Surely they will gather, but not by me, says the Lord. They will fall for your sakes. For the sake of that gathering, they will fall. It's interesting how bitter people know how to connect with each other. You know, I can hear the statement of someone and tell if the person is bitter. I don't need too long conversation with you. I can tell. 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, one sentence, I can trace bitterness. So they have a way of locating each other. And then, you know, and there are times where maybe someone who was offended before is connected by someone who is recently offended. And now the person who was offended before had healed from the pain. The person who is recently offended now revokes, that is, he revives. You know when they say Jesus rose on the third day? Reawakens the offense the person had before, something he had forgiven. So you must watch out for what you say to people, because you don't know if your words could be words of offenses. Somebody say amen. Amen. There are a few occasions whereby people talk to some other people who were offended before, and just because they feel I would find some sort of solace here, and the person who was offended before talks the person out of the offense. It happens, but on rare occasions. On rare occasions. But if you were in that place, be that person who refocuses people from offense and just put them on Christ. Now, you see, in dealing with offense, it doesn't mean you shouldn't deal with the problem, but you must deal with the problem avoiding the offense. So dealing with issues is not saying, or should I, let me put it this way, to not be offended is not synonymous to not dealing with the issue. You deal with the issue, but stay clear of offenses. Somebody say amen. Rebellion, number six. People just rebel against leadership when there's offense. They rebel. It's part of the trait. Lucifer was a guy who rebelled. Absalom rebelled against his father. So when you see rebellion in an organized structure, there's offense. The person is just rebelling for no reason. In fact, sometimes, just because the leader is going in this direction, you now decide this is the direction you want to go. Just because everybody has agreed, but because you will not disappoint us by being who you are, you will tell everybody, this is where I think, and if nobody, there will be no peace in that group. There will be no peace in that department because you have said something now. So people are rebellious because there's an offense. You know, you should be able to be told no and it's fine. Amen, somebody. Especially when you're dealing with a group, or if you're dealing with a leader speaking with you. If your leader says no, it should be fine. Except you have some ulterior motive. If you don't think the direction of a leader is profitable, go pray about it. Because God himself doesn't break protocol. If God wants you out of that system, he would do it in such a way that it can only be God. or he will speak to the leader. Can't God speak to me also? Were you not there when God chose him? You were there when God bypassed you and said, I know you are here, but this is going to be the leader. So you must respect it. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, wow, this message, be like saying a Kuboku message. Nobody's answering me. Number 7, recollection of events. Offended people recollect events. I found out that people who are offended have a very good memory of what has hurt them before. They know how to recollect and put together. They will never miss the time. They are accurate on the date. At 2 p.m. 2022, it was a Tuesday and it was raining that day, so I can't even forget. Reza. So they know how to, but they don't have good memory when it comes to what is good. They seem not to remember the good, but they remember what is bad. If your mind is wired in that way, please, you have issues. You are perfect in Christ, but you must know that you have issues. You must tell yourself, I have issues to reconcile with my position in Christ. If you want to clap, clap well now. So, they know how to recollect events. They know how to connect with each other. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people who have been influenced, not intentionally walking into offense, but just being in the presence of an offense. Some of them live with the offense. Some of them run into the offense and they become offended or they become defiled by the offenses of someone else. You are now carrying somebody else's palaver on your head, which did not belong to you originally. And a lot of times, offended people don't have the details. They usually don't have first-hand information of what they are offended about. If you go online now, you see people angry about everything. Tell us what you're angry about. They cannot even say what they're angry about. If you say, you see, this brother, the way he behaves is just unbecoming. I don't know what he thinks of himself. So I asked the person, have you spoken to the brother? No, I don't want to have anything. Say, do you know the person? No. Have you had a conversation with the person? No. You see, you have problem. You have their issue. You have issues. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many times, offended people don't even have details of things. They just take assumptions and they dive. I wish I can vividly show you the picture of someone diving from, yes, into a pool. That's how their minds are. They just dive into everything. Praise God. Talk to two people around you. Say, watch out against offenses. They don't trust people. They betray you. And in case you are the one who is betraying someone else's trust, today change. Stop it. It's bad behavior. If people have trusted you and you are betraying their trust, change. And the best way you deal with it is go talk to them about it. You see, communication is the best resolver of offense. Many times, 50% of your problem is solved when you just talk. But you see that talk? Nah, Satan no go let you talk. As the person is coming like this, you will go this way. And you'll be the one telling everybody, no, there's nothing in my mind though. You are a liar. There's nothing in my mind. Nothing in my mind, Kwa. There is something in your mind. If your mind is free, why can't you greet the person? Offenses. Offenses will destroy you. And I've seen people who even know Bible. Don't think that being a pastor exempts you from offenses. In fact, sometimes people who have a large heart, who do very good, are the ones that are most susceptible to offenses. Because the much you do builds some kind of expectation you should have from people because of how you are. So that's why it's important that when you do good stuff, do it without expecting anything in return. It saves your heart. It preserves your mind. You don't want to be offended. And I'm not saying don't have expectations or don't trust people, but I'm saying be in a healthy place where you're not feeding on someone's action towards you to determine how well you feel about yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to tell you four persons within the framework of spirituality. There are many things you shouldn't be offended at, but four persons you should not be offended at. Four things you should not be offended at. So I want you to write in capital letters, I will not be offended at, write it now. I'm waiting for you. Write it. Have you written it? Okay. I will not be offended at number one, God. There are people today who are offended at God. God, if you are there, why is there earthquake? If you are there, why is there a volcano? If you are there, if you are really God, if truly, truly you be God, who you say you are to be that you are, why is there wars, killings, fightings? You see, I've learned to not focus on questions that are bigger than me. Give yourself peace. It's not every question that has answers in this realm. I'm telling you. And one of the quickest ways that people are offended at God is when they lose a loved one. A great man of God said that when you see someone who is offended at God, it's most likely he has lost someone very dear to him. And the question always remains, where was God when my brother died? Where was God when my sister died? Where was God when my mother died? But I want you to know that you don't love your brother more than the way God loves your brother. Number two, your brother belongs to God, not you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So there are some questions that are way bigger than you. You cannot really navigate the answers. So those things, you just let them be. Just let them be. I don't bother because when I start to allow certain questions, I begin to doubt. Doubt creeps in. You start to harbor some questions. You don't want to let that happen to you. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9. Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. It's better you strive with the earth. Don't strive with God. But you shouldn't even strive at all. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? So don't strive with God. Don't strive with God. Can I tell you something? God doesn't owe you anything. I'm telling you. If, because of the death of his son, the burial, the resurrection, if all that's what God has done for you and I, he has done enough. So quit this entitlement mentality. Just cut it. God, he gives all things, but he doesn't owe you anything. But he freely gives you all things. So a lot of people, especially in this generation, our generation, like I've told you before, we are a scornful generation. We are quick to talk about the sacred and to insult the sacred on social media. It's a scornful generation. Those are things that our fathers counted as taboo in their days. But now, somebody will just freely, because you have iPhone, just carry and you have data. Let's add data. You have data. You now type and you insult the person of God. Don't be offended at God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 13 says, in fact, there are people who are warning God. I hope you know. God, I am warning you. If I don't marry in 2024, see whether you will see me in church again. God, don't suffer. God, don't suffer. You know, there's a friend of mine who wrote a song. Thank God, God, no be. Not thank God. Thank God you spoiled the vibe. Thank God. Thank God, God, no be man, oh. Because if God be man, oh, I for don't die, oh. I for don't pay me, oh. You know that song? BNG. Say, thank God, say, God, not be man. Because if God, na man. If I look at your neighbor, say, thank God, say, you not be God. Because the way I'm looking at some of you, hey, if you are God, half of your family members will not wake up tomorrow. If you are God, there are seven of your friends that would have died. Seven. They wake up and just realize, says, he has gone to be with God. Thank God, say, man, not be God. God is so merciful. You know, people say, I made a vow with God. I made a commitment with God. If God does not do this thing for me in 2024, I will tear my Bible. Tear it. Go and tear the Bible. If I tear it before you make the promise. And leave us alone. But you see, God is faithful. God is faithful. So don't be offended at God. Somebody say, I hear you. Don't be offended at God. Don't be. I'm saying it because this generation, then they vex for God well. Any small thing. I don't really believe in the... So you see, there's what they call the new age now. You know when you hear the word energy? energy. When you hear the word energy, don't think it's Holy Spirit they are talking about. Because by the time you start to hear conversations of the universe, you see, New Age religion is depersonalized faith. It keeps the process but reads you of the person. So in fact, you can be talking to someone who is of New Age and both of you will seem to be on the same page. Because your concept of faith may be their concept of faith. But it's when you start to talk about a person, or should I say a supreme being, that's when you see that they attribute the supreme being to be the forces of the universe. The divine. I am divine as the universe is divine. Wako, you're well done. So anything to replace God, because people are offended at God. So in the minds of people, it is energy that exists by itself. You don't want to talk about a creation, because if you say creation, you imply that there is a creator. So you avoid the conversation of creator. Forget those people. Offense is what led many of those movements. Offenses. So don't be offended at God. Number two, don't be offended at God's word. A lot of time, God's word will correct you. See, have you ever received God's word and the thing is biting you? Like I said now, as I'm talking about offenses, there are people who are just angry. It's good for you. But don't be offended at God's word. You see, Pastor, there are many other things you can preach about. You know, I don't really appreciate when the word comes at me like this. Me, I appreciate it. Don't be offended at God's word. Number three, don't be offended at the brethren. Don't be offended at your brothers. Don't be the one carrying everybody's file around. How come you are the one that knows everybody's secret? I hope you know you have a problem. You have a big problem because, you know, there are people who are itchy to know what people don't know about others. Why? You have a spirit of offense. In fact, the spirit of offense is on you. It has built a tabernacle. It has built headquarters on your head. So don't be offended at God's people. I've heard a lot of people say, I hate church people. I don't like church people. But the same church people are the people you deal with in the office. So, and you don't say, I hate office people. Why is it that church people are the ones that bear your brunt? You see, Pastor, I just feel like I want to move on in life. There's something about me that I want to deal with. If you want to deal with, go and read masters. If you want to add to your personal life, go and do a PhD or go and do a program or do something. But don't, you see, Pastor, I feel it's time to move on. And then church suffers it's time to move on. So you leave church. You're not processing right, though. If there's something personally going on in your life, fix it. Don't blame church. Fix it. Deal with it. Address it. Church is not your problem. These people are not your problem. They came to serve God like you came to serve God. They came to receive. And let me tell you, they are receiving. Maybe you are not receiving. And I said something in first service, that whenever you are in an environment where people are sharing testimonies, receiving, the word is blessing them, and something is missing, the word is not the problem. You are the problem. Because the word is tried 7 times. It's fine. God is fine. Word is fine. You have to be the issue. So stop blaming people in 2024. Don't fight your brothers. Don't fight your brethren. Somebody say, I hear you. Don't be a repeater of bad news. It suits you. The gospel I gave you 6 years ago to preach, you have not finished preaching that one. But you are more interested in repeating bad news. You know what David said to the man who brought the news about Saul's death? He says, tell it not in Gad. Don't repeat that Saul, God's anointed, is dead. He says, tell it not in Gad. There are people who just find pleasure in repeating. The moment you hear something has happened to someone, you go to your phone. There are 6 people you have to talk to. You start to call all of them one by one. You have wahala. These are the issues. But please align your issues with Christ. I want to lean more on who you are in Christ. But if you are like that, please tell your neighbor, say, change. Maybe Pastor is talking about you. Change. Always a repeater of bad news. Always a repeater. Did you hear? Did you hear? That lady who gave testimony said, how sure are we of that testimony? You say somebody just dashed that car like that. Are you sure it's not be allergy? You have evil conscience. You cannot just celebrate with someone. You are a problem. Sorry, excuse me that I have to sound this way. But if I don't talk like this, some people will think. Because I can show you from the scripture where someone was making. Did I read that scripture to you? Where I said that bitter people connect with themselves. 2 Samuel 15 verse 12. Let me show you that scripture. 2 Samuel 15 verse 12. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. Are you not seeing contradiction? He's offering sacrifices to God and he's in the middle of a conspiracy. So you can be someone who is doing what is right and you are actively sponsoring a confusion. You came to church to worship. You brought your two left legs to praise and to worship God. You paid Uber. You sat down and you told yourself that after service, there are three people you need to discuss with to further perpetrate a conspiracy to knock heads together. And you see, when they were worshiping, we did not know because tears was coming down from their eyes. So you can be in the middle of active worship, what seems to be good, and then you are perpetuating wickedness in your heart. May God deliver all of us. Number four. Of course, you know the last one. Don't be offended at God's anointed. Don't be offended at your pastor. Let me tell you, the quickest way for Satan to cheat you is to develop offense at Pastor Phil. Firstly, he has removed half of what you can receive in that ministry. It's better you are not in the church. Just go. And I'm saying it unapologetically. You are offended at the pastor. And you say, I believe in the ministry. I don't believe in the man. We're done. We're done. We're done. Wakoyo. You know, John the Baptist was offended at his pastor, Jesus. This was someone who said, I came to bear witness of the light. And he was talking about Jesus. And just because Jesus did not show up when he needed Jesus the most, because he was put in prison, and Jesus did not give him a call or sent him a text. And he sent his disciples to go meet Jesus and say, are you the one we are expecting, or we should expect another? And Jesus replied his disciples and says, go tell your master John the Baptist that the blind can see, the dumb can hear, the lame can walk. When he finished all of that, he now made a statement. He says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Because the real problem, and he saw through John the Baptist's questions, that it was about offenses. So you can't be offended at your pastor. How do you drink water and you put sansan inside the cup? So run away from being offended at your pastor. You see, someone is your pastor and they are talking about... Now, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to preserve myself. I tell you under God, what I'm saying to you, I will say to another. When I say another, I mean another congregation. And I would advise them, don't be offended at your pastor. Don't. Because it is, you are cheated from. Let me tell you, a lot of things that will come to you is in the hands of many other people. So if you are a person of offense, you are first of all cut out God's plan of giving you things through people. Now, let's move beyond pastor. Even people, just people around you, let's pray together. You're offended. Going about spreading things, spreading news about people, about this in church, about that, in outside, in your office. You're the one who talks the most and do the less work. You're not a member of TSPO. And if you're like that, change in the name of Jesus. See, you see that sister? If you know what I know about her, I know you see her, she sings all the time on stage and everything looks like she's fine. But if you know what I know about her, I'm only telling you because you are in the prayer band. So that you can spend time to pray. Go and sit down. Praise the Lord, somebody. So don't be offended at your pastor. Don't be offended at your pastor. How to deal with offenses. We're not going to touch that today because the time is gone. Hallelujah. I pray that God will read your heart. Paul says, I exercise myself to be void, my conscience to be void of offense towards God and towards man. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you. I pray in the name of Jesus that God will give you a heart that is void of offense. Please look at me, everybody. Whenever you get to a place in life where you are hardly offended. That is growth. That is growth. You're growing. That's growing. But you see, when someone is very touchy, easily responsive to the flesh, that's not a good sign. Marriages will work today when husband chooses not to be offended at the wife. When wife says, you know what, I'm going to forgive my husband. It will work. Relationships will be built if people choose not to be offended. Churches will do well if members choose not to. He says, surely offenses will come. So why are you surprised that it came? But may God give you a heart that is quick to forgive rather than to harbor something that will lead to self-destruct. God doesn't want you to be destroyed because you are in bitterness. This is where there is strife and bitterness. There's all manner of evil work. So may the Lord rid our hearts of offense in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord give you a heart, conscience that is good towards Him and towards man. And every manifestation that you are trusting God for, I pray in the name of Jesus that the channels of your spirit are open to receive right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, can I speak to people who are struggling with unforgiveness? You're probably here and there are people who have hurt you. You've tried. It's not as if you didn't try. You've tried, but it's not working. I pray in the name of Jesus that God will help your heart. You know, some of you who are saying, Pastor, it just can't be the same. I understand you. You see, but it's good you make an attempt in the right direction and let God do the work. This kind of things is not what you even try to wheel out with your own self power. Go pray about it. Go pray about it. One good way to know that you're dealing with offenses rightly is that you're praying about it. If you're not praying about it, you're not serious about it. So go pray about it and let God deal with the hurts. Let God deal with the offenses. Thank you, Father, for your people. We've heard a word today, and let this word produce fruit in our lives, that we are without offense until the day of Christ, that the fruits of righteousness be made manifest in us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you hear our prayer, for in Jesus' name we pray. Now go ahead, clap your hands and give the Lord praise.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.